Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Sarah Reynolds.
And I'm Via Williams. Today, we are continuing our leadership series on the second episode of that series, and it is the episode on vision. So it might kind of sound funny that I'm going to start talking about self-vision. I don't think that's like anything I've really thought of before, but it's so important. It's kind of a weird thing to say, isn't it?
Well, it sort of ties in last week's episode, right? Yeah. On ourselves. So I love it. Let's hear it.
And that's exactly why I wanted to do it, because we kicked off last week, right, with the topic of self-leadership. And if you haven't listened to that one, I recommend that as a great place to start with this series. And we think of self-leadership, right, as the foundation of leadership. So how we talk to ourselves affects our leadership more than anything, I would say. And vision is no exception to that, Sarah. So I wanted to start out with a question for all of our listeners. It's just a question to reflect on today and this week. And that question is your word impeccable?
Mm.
Is your word impeccable? Some of you might recognize that. It's from The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. But did you know that you have a relationship with your words? What's interesting is we do tend to break our word more with ourselves than with others, which is messed up, and it's just human nature. And what happens, and where you really, really need to watch out for this with yourself, with self-leadership moving into self-vision, is that when we start breaking our word to ourself, trust in self breaks down. And when it happens over and over, it starts resulting in things like lower self-esteem, lower confidence, disappointment in yourself. And it can actually turn into a pretty big funk. But I would argue that it really makes people shrink away from leadership, not lean in towards it. Because what happens is when you continually let yourself down, you feel bad and you feel down on yourself and you gain weight and you don't do the sales jobs you're supposed to do to get to the next level, right? You have a very low self-esteem. It really affects you. So the more honorable our relationship with our word is and the more trust we have in ourselves, guess what? The more trust people have in us. Here, I think one of the best examples is our co-host, Wendy. And Wendy made a promise to herself a long time ago, I think like 8 or 10 years ago. And that promise was, I'm going to wake up 3 times a week at like 6 a.m. in the morning, and I'm going to work out with a personal trainer. I just feel like that's something I need to do for my health, right? Yep. So her and her husband, Jay, started doing that. And it's been 8, 9, 10 years straight of doing that. Even through COVID, they have virtual, their trainer did it virtually, right? So what I started noticing in Wendy is after she had done that a year or two, she started believing herself. And so then what happened is she said, okay, I'm going to be a net worth, you know, millionaire or 5 millionaire or 10 millionaire, whatever it was that she set out for herself by the time I'm, you know, 40 or 45 or 50 or whatever that goal was. And I noticed that that she trusted herself to be true to her word, because she had set that morning appointment and she fulfilled it. And so her brain just said, well, yeah, you did that. So I think you're going to do this too. And so then what starts happening is her words started having power, because as she started promising herself things and fulfilling them, she started believing herself and she had faith in herself and she knew that she was going to hit goals. And then what started happening is people started following, because people go, wait, I'm seeing that she or Sarah, you or me or any of us, I'm seeing that they said they were going to do X and they did X and it happened and everything they do is successful. And I want to follow that leader.
I love that.
And so it's the same thing with a vision, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it goes perfectly with what we're going to talk about today, which is vision casting, because you cannot confidently cast a vision if you doubt yourself. And so if you have not been keeping up with your word to yourself, then there is no way you can confidently stand in front of your organization and do a good job at casting the vision, which that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how to cast a vision to where no one ever wants to leave you, right? They see the vision for their life within yours and they don't want to leave. It reminds me of Stephen Covey says, and this ties exactly with what you were saying, all things are created twice. First, there is the mental creation, and second, the physical creation. Vision pertains to the first creation, meaning what do we see in our minds first and foremost, but then our people have to see it before they can actually be it or execute it. So today we're going to talk about vision casting as a leader. How do you cast the vision to where no one wants to leave? And I think it does start with ourselves and making sure that we believe ourselves first and foremost to where we can then confidently cast that vision.
100%. It's perfect. The creating everything twice is exactly what we're talking about with that foundation of self-leadership. And as you guys listen to every part to the series, right, you know, weave it mentally into your head that it still starts with you. You're the only thing you can control in all of this, right?
Yes.
So when it comes to vision, what Sarah is really saying is that, you know, this comes from you. You have to inherently believe that vision so much that other people see that and want to come and align with you.
Yeah. I think it reminds me of, about 7 years ago, I had a team member come into my office and she just looked at me and said, where are we going? Like, what does the future hold?
You're
where
like,
are we going?
Lunch or like,
and she said, you know, I'm struggling because you haven't shared with us the vision of the future. And she said, I know it's in your head, but you haven't told us. And I paused. Initially I was like, I'm not going to share with you what's sort of in my head. And that's a weird answer, right? To give as a leader, like, no, actually, I'm not going to tell you the future. But the truth is that I first had to believe it myself. And what was holding me back was, you know, I didn't want to share something that I viewed as a lie. Mm. So like vision casting for me was hard because I felt like, well, what if we don't hit it? What if we don't, I cast a vision of where we're going. And then if we don't hit it, then am I a liar? Did I stand in front of my people and say, this is what we're doing, and we end up not doing it? And, you know, and I shared that with her and she said, you know, well, we can't help you if we don't know where we're going. And part of us actually reaching the vision is understanding it. And then your organization will then get around the vision and will help you achieve it. And so I don't know if any of our listeners can sort of resonate with what I'm saying, but I think if you struggle with casting the vision and part of it is a fear of failure, why I wasn't doing it, I would really highly recommend you overcome this because your people need you to cast the vision and to share where you're going.
Well, and I think that's so good. Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that. And also, we got in a really big discussion with this when we had a bunch of Empire Circle people up in my neck of the woods last month. This is a group that through her best life. Very, very amazing women. And we got into a long discussion around casting vision as a leader. And here I'm about to we're launching an episode on how to cast vision as a leader. And what I'm going to share with you, to Sarah's point, is you should not always cast vision as a leader. Discerning whether to do it or not is part of this equation. And one of the things we talked about is that my leader, my CEO, does not cast certain visions. He casts, is very particular about what he casts. And I remember I went up to him once and I said, you know, I've noticed that interestingly, you don't share a lot of what you and I talk about privately with the group. And I'm curious why. And he said, because I think a lot of the times it's a burden and it becomes distracting. It is not really their vision, it's my vision. What I want to spend time on is casting their vision of their lives and themselves and attaching that to the organization. And some of the organization's vision is important to share and some really isn't. Some isn't fully fleshed out. You know, you may not have believed it, but I think partly knowing you, Sarah, it just wasn't fleshed out yet necessarily. You were still processing it and thinking it through. That was probably why you didn't believe it. It wasn't complete in your mind yet, or at least complete enough for you to go, okay, this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, interestingly, having that discernment and knowing like, you know, what to share and what not to share, what to plant your flag in and what not to plant your flag in is part of this equation.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, we're going to go into the four C's that we found in terms of vision casting. And I think that's a huge part of it is having understanding where you're going and having, you know, clarity around that. So we're going to talk about that here in a second, but I think you're absolutely right on that. And so like having the discernment of when to share, who to share potentially with it, but ultimately at the end of the day, you are sort of the vision, CEO of the vision and casting the vision. Mm-hmm. And so we'll give you some how sort of tips on how to do it, throughout this episode. So get your pen out and paper.
Here we go.
And get ready to take some notes.
Okay, so as we said, as a leader, you are the chief vision caster. That's your role. And today we're going to focus on the four C's that Steve, is it Murrell?
Yes. Yep.
Murrell.
He outlined them for us.
He outlined them. And he these are the four C's that he believes you have to have when vision casting that I believe, Sarah, you use these. I believe you're the one that. And so we're going to talk about how you can create a vision so big that nobody wants to leave you or your organization. So the number one C, which I agree wholeheartedly with, is clarity. You want the vision to be specific and you want to provide clarity. The more clear you are with your vision, the more your team will get behind it. And I know, Sarah, you've got some stories behind this. What I want to share about this is I was just doing some research and writing some content on communicating during times of crisis, which we've all been through lately, but I had to present. And usually when I present, I do a little bit of extra research. And the resounding commonality is specificity, is communicating specifics. Clear and concise and specific communication. So not that this is just in times of crisis and everything, but the more specific and clear you are internally, you will then communicate that externally.
Absolutely right. They say that the majority of people will stay at a job because they have clarity around how they win and the specifics around that. And so clarity goes hand in hand with vision casting. And for me, you know, I just want to be transparent. This is something that I've struggled with. After that question was asked of me, I went on a journey of understanding vision casting, and I read every book there was out there around this topic. And the four C's have really helped me with that. So how I developed sort of our vision in terms of clarity was, honestly, it started with my people. So I'm a big believer in understanding where your people want to go, what the vision of their life is, just as you mentioned Ben Kinney via and him saying, you know, it's about their life. Well, honestly, that to me is the organization's vision as well. So they go hand in hand. So what I did was I sat my every team member down at the time. It took me about 2 months. But I did what we call the motivational interview. It's actually used as a tool for hiring. I use that tool the most actually as a retention tool. So trying to understand where someone wants to be in 5 years in their life, and then looking at our org chart and saying, okay, can they see themselves in our organization based on their goals that they have? Can they see themselves in our organization in the vision? And so I tie vision to future organizational charts. It's how I do it in terms of a picture. And how I gave the clarity when I was struggling with this is sitting down with them, finding out, and then I built an organizational chart 3 years out, 5 years out, that showed what their goals are within the organizational chart. And so that's been a big key for how I've provided clarity in sort of the tactical ways that I did it when I was struggling in this area.
Can I ask you a question on that, Sarah?
Yeah.
So here's where I'm curious. My concern with that would be, so I guess I'm going to poke a hole in it, but it's more in the spirit of learning from you. My concern would be, okay, you know, where do you see yourself on this chart? What, you know, here's the vision of the company. We're going to need a, I'm going to make this up right now, CMO, chief marketing officer. Okay. I see myself there. I want to be the chief marketing officer. That's great. What happens as a leader, a CEO, which you are, when it becomes abundantly clear in a year or two, you need a very high level CMO to come in that is not this person? How do you handle that?
So, good question. I think it starts with how you cast the vision. So I tie it into the org chart, and we use blue boxes on the org chart for future positions. And then I then say, if you see yourself in one of those blue boxes, let me tell you as a leader who you need to become to earn the right for the blue box. So it's not like a given, like because you said you wanted it, then you're going to get it in 3 years, right? And so setting it up to where no matter what, within or outside the organization, that you have to earn that role and what we're looking for. And so sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And that's happened many times. But also people's vision for their lives change. Stuff happens along the way as well. But I think the key there is making sure that you have clear standards around growth in your organization, and how someone earns the right for those positions is key. So it's not like just a given because you said you want it, you get it. It's more of like having the standards around where, how those positions will be filled.
Thank you. That's really helpful.
At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
All right, so number one, C is clarity. Number two is compelling communication. So once you have clarity around your vision, around where your organization's going to go, the second C is making sure that you have compelling communication to where you can explain the vision in a way that they want to follow, right? A leader who makes an unprepared, sloppy vision presentation can make an otherwise exciting vision seem boring, right? So compelling vision produces action. Boring vision will produce absolutely nothing, right? Mm-hmm. So making sure that you can compel your company and when you're explaining the vision to where they want to get behind it. The vision casting for me, because it's not something that was super natural for me, it's actually the number one thing I practice. So I actually will practice casting the vision at home. I will practice in front of a mirror. I then will practice many times with my key leaders and making sure that I'm clear in my communication and that I'm compelling the organization to take action based around the vision.
I love that. You know, I think that a lot of the times the creative spark that comes with this comes from sharing the vision and being a student of how people are receiving it and understanding body language and really listening to what phrases and words they're repeating from you that you hear them talk to others. And if you can be aware of that, then what happens is then you can keep honing and honing, because this is actually a skill that I do well and it's very natural for me, but I continue to work on it purposefully as well. And I hear something that really resonates with me and I start sharing that, and I can immediately see if that's taking off with speed with someone else, right? I can hear them repeat it. They'll repeat it back to me. I can hear it repeat it back to others. And so pay attention to how people are receiving you always in leadership, always in communication. Communication yes. is not what you are saying. It's how people are receiving you. That's everything. Communication is not what you're saying. It is how people receive you.
I love that. One of the tools that I use when I'm casting a vision to really compel to action is actually storytelling. So storytelling is the single greatest visionary device any leader has in sort of in his or her toolbox. So stories by their very nature take the listener into the future. So a well-told story will grab the attention of the audience. So as much as you can, creating a story around it. So when I'm casting the vision and I share with my team, okay, this is where we're going in 3 to 5 years. This is what our organization is going to look like. This is the opportunity that you have. I then always tie it to our impact story continuing. So we talk about impact a lot within my organization. And I say our impact story is going to continue. And then I talk about the five groups of people or five things that we're going to impact. And with each of those things, I tell a story of who we're going to impact and paint the picture of that through stories. So one of the best ways that you can communicate in a compelling way is storytelling.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I think that, you know, you and I do podcasts. Obviously, we do this podcast and we teach and speak a lot. I don't know about you, but I need to prepare my stories in advance because I find that when I'm on the spot, I don't always correlate the best story. So to me, a lot of my podcast prep, a lot of my teaching and speaking prep is like, what's a good story for this? And just trying to be aware of that, right? And then sometimes when things happen to me in real life, in real time, I mean, like, I'll be like, oh, that would be a good story for X, you know? That's part of it. Like, you have to catalog your stories. It sounds crazy, but you won't think of the right one at the right time. So,
yeah. So you can use stories from like within your organization sort of as a roadmap, but also think about stories from history, sports, or art that demonstrate the kind of greatness you're wanting the team to achieve. And so tying those in is a great place to look at stories as well. Maybe not from your own experiences, but from others.
And also analogies. Analogies are really helpful as a substitute if you don't have a good story. I think analogies are usually in anything I've studied on storytelling, it's storytelling and analogies. So it kind of goes together because it's a little bit of a mini story. So we're going to move into the third C, Sarah, and that is commitment. Commitment. Once you have a clear vision and can share it in a compelling way, you then want to ask those that follow you for their commitment to the vision, right? You want them to buy in and be dedicated, enthusiastic on the vision. So one of the things you say, really, I've heard you say it to your people, you say it a lot, is we are loyal to the vision and the mission. We're not loyal to a person, right? All of us together, united, are loyal to the vision and the mission, right? So one of the things I know you did was you removed names from your org chart. And just like we were talking about just now, like, you know, you're like, look, we are going to need, in order for us to be loyal to our vision, we're going to need a CMO that's amazing someday, maybe even from Wall Street or something, right? Or from, you know, from a Fortune 100 company. And you know, that may or may not you, but by being in this organization and by all of us achieving this vision together, you will win for your life. You know, we will make sure that you win for your life. It just, we have to be, in order to be loyal to the vision, we're not going to put your name on this org chart 2 years down the road, right?
Yeah. I mean, this was a big move that we made in our last sort of team advance where I casted the next 3-year vision and I removed my name as well from the CEO role. And so it just said CEO. Now that did have some after effects, by the way, because some of the team members took that as I was leaving, which was not the case at all. But that's how there was some fear around that. But the point is that it's not about being loyal to a person, but are you loyal to the vision? And the vision is not about a person. It's about the impact that we're making on the world and our communities. And I think that was a big sort of eye-opening thing, not just for me, but for my leadership team, as well as for my organization, because it's like all of us have to earn our positions every day. And part of being loyal to the vision is sometimes we have to say we're not maybe the best person for that role, or we need to hire from the outside, or whatever that might be. But it's so important to build a commitment around the vision to where your people will say, "I'm committed to this vision. I'm committed to our mission." So number four is 4C is building community. So one of the things that when you can cast a vision that's clear, when you can do it in a compelling way, when you can then have your people commit to the vision, it automatically builds a sense of community. So clear and compelling vision attracts committed people. So as the people then will sacrifice for the common vision, then that automatically builds community within your organization to where everyone's rallying around the one thing and they feel like everyone is, you're in it together to make it happen. And we are constantly reminding our team members of our vision. And it is very specific, which is to be in 100 major metro cities, helping 100 families a month in each of those major metro cities to then give back $1 million a year to those communities, to each community. And it's very specific, but we say it often. And what happens is the community around giving It's just in our innate, in our organization, because that is part of the vision. It builds the community around what we're ultimately after.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that is really a true community is formed when everybody is united unto something bigger than themselves, a vision, a goal, a movement that's bigger than themselves, right? And that is really the definition. That's what ties communities together, is that concept. And it's no different in business, right? Business is just the same as any other community.
Yep. And we know, leadership can be lonely, and people in your organization might struggle with loneliness at times. And to be honest, whenever I struggle with leadership lonely, I think about the community that I serve, which are my people, but I think about the vision and ultimately how we can accomplish so much together, and that we're all in this together. And so it solves that in a big way when you're vision casting.
Yeah. So do you want to kind of talk a little bit about how we do, so we just went through the four C's. How do we do all of this?
Yeah, I think the first thing is starting with your values, right? So when you're looking at vision casting and coming up with your vision, so starting with your values, what do you believe in and where do you want to go? I think that you can see that in the vision of my company, right? I have a value of giving back. It's ingrained in who I am as a human. And you see that show up in the vision, but it started with understanding what are my values.
Yeah. And then you kind of ask yourself the question from that, like, what does the perfect week look like? What does the perfect day look like? Who's on my team? What's the perfect team? You know, what is my job besides being the leader? Do I have a role specific thing besides being a leader? For most CEOs, it's growth. Sometimes there's some exceptions where it's not growth. Usually it's growth. How much money are you making? What's your profit margin? And I think that this, again, it's going to tie back to that first episode on self-leadership, because a lot of this is learning how to think in terms of backing into visions, backing into goals, reverse engineering the thought. If you have the vision, knowing how to get there is really secondary, right?
Yep. Yep. I think, the example I gave of sitting your team members down, understanding where their vision is for their life will many times give you good ideas around what your vision should look like, what your future organizational chart should look like, where you're going. A lot of times your people and their goals honestly matter way more than yours in my world. And so it's so important to understand where their goals are and then making sure that you're building a vision around that. So that's a very practical way of how you can do that.
Well, and also, Sarah, as far as how we do this, sometimes we can get help, right? I think that a good example is what we just went through with Her Best Life. You know, working together in a community, we were definitely all geared towards the same vision, bigger than ourselves, but we needed help.
Yep. Yep. And so we hired someone from the outside to help us with that. And so to talk through where we want Her Best Life to be in 5 years. Mm-hmm. And it was quite the process. It took many hours. But honestly, I'm so happy with Wendy casted the vision for us yesterday. And I'm so happy with the result of that. And it did take us getting outside help. So at times, if you have partners, or if you're in an organization where you have key leaders and you want to really dial in on the vision, making sure that you can maybe possibly hire someone from the outside to help you talk that through with your people has been powerful for us.
Yeah, and that's right. And if you have a team, you can sit them down. You can kind of sit down with them and you can get a whiteboard out or a flip chart or whatever it is and ask them, where do you want to go? What do you want this to look like in five years or whatever it is? Don't forget your hopes and dreams. What are those? And how can we weave them in? And maybe we thought you were going down one road, but your hopes and dreams are telling us you should be going down this road. And that aligns with this part of the vision, not maybe this part that we thought it did, right?
Yep.
So bringing your team in is a good thing to do. And also, as leaders, we're sort of the chief vision casters too, though.
Yep. And I think part of how we can tactically do that in terms of casting the vision is I always present it at our team advance every single year, but I don't stop there. So I believe that you should be casting the vision every quarter. And so we follow the 12-week year system. And so every single quarter, I'm reminding the team in terms of what we're doing, how we're being loyal to the vision, and what they need to do in the next quarter to make it happen. And you can also do this. I know Wendy talked about the GPS on our last podcast with self-leadership. This is the same. The GPS can also be a way of creating the vision, and then also using that to cast the vision as well.
Yeah, I do want to tell a story. So I think that, because you said it earlier, that you said, I say this at every meeting. I say this, you've mentioned numerous times throughout this episode that you practice the vision and that you share it a lot with your group. And I had a cool win this week about this, where I was a recipient of it. You know, as a leader, I'm trying to do the same thing, Sarah. I'm trying to do what you're trying to do. And here we are on this podcast, and every single episode, week in and week out, we say the same things. Empire Building Podcast is to help people grow big businesses and even bigger lives. We could say it in our sleep, right? We've said it hundreds of times together, right? And it might just sound like it's a podcast slogan, and maybe I thought it was, I don't know. But what happens when you tell yourself something over and over again for 210 or 15 episodes, however many we've done, for two straight years, what happens is one day you wake up and you realize you're living it. You're living the vision of having helping people grow businesses and live even bigger lives. And I had a life event happen that was like a major milestone in my life that was not business related, but it was a direct effect of business. And one of the first thoughts that came to me, we were at the closing table, we closed on this, home. And I was a little bit overcome in that moment, because I thought, I am literally helping people grow big businesses and live even bigger lives. I am doing that for myself. And I didn't even realize it. It didn't even occur to me, because I was living it. I was in the moment. I was being mindful. But I think it's a testament to sharing something over and over and over again. Whether you believe it fully or not, I don't know. But it can't help but help when you say something over and over and over again like that. Because I did it.
Yeah, I think that that's such a powerful example, Bea. And yes, you did, first of all. And it makes me so happy. And it's such a powerful example of it all starts in our minds. And then also the words we say have power. And I think, it was when I first did my first ever vision casting, I was nervous, and I stood up in front of my team and I shared where we're going. But do you know what? I was more nervous 3 years later when I was sharing the next 3 years, because we had gotten to the vision I casted 3 years before. And I was almost shaking, because I felt like I knew that I was actually showing the future. And I think it's so powerful when you can actually accomplish something like you have, Bea. It builds so much confidence, but it all starts in our mind. It starts in the words we say. And so when you are a leader and it's your job to cast that vision, just know that those words do hold power, and your people will rally around it when you do a good job at making it clear, making your communication powerful around it, and then also making sure that they feel like they can commit to it. Right? It's so, so powerful. So powerful.
I love this. And in conclusion, going back to the very, very beginning of this episode, right? Sarah said it exactly spot on, right? Which is, if you start believing your own word to yourself and you start believing the own vision you're casting to yourself, then you can build on that. And more, Sarah knows that the next big vision will come true, because all the visions have come true before that. And so if you need to start somewhere, start with making your bed every morning. Start with working out 3 times a week. It can start at the very basic foundational level of keeping your own promises to yourself. That may seem unrelated, I get it, but it is so related to this. And then start believing in little mini visions you have for yourself. And you can build on that like a muscle. It'll strengthen like a muscle. And as you build it and build it and build it, they will come. You will lead others by leading yourself to believe that vision. When Sarah said earlier she wasn't ready to share the vision, it wasn't fully formulated, and she just wasn't there in a place where she believed it yet. It was the right call to make to not share that vision yet. So
yes.
Thank you. Yep. Thank all of you guys. What a great episode. I loved this episode today, Sarah. I loved it.
Me too.
It was so good. And so I hope you guys can go back and maybe re-listen. I think this is one of those episodes where you might get, you know, one thing the first time and then something else the second time. But have a great week, everyone. And we sure appreciate you.
Bye, guys.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.